Morning, turn me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Last year on Mother's Day, I did not do a Mother's Day message as such. We started, did three messages in the month of June about the home. Well, actually, more than that, I think it was four or five messages in relation to the home. And I do want to talk to you this morning about some things in relation to women in the Bible or what God says about women. And I want to talk about some things today that maybe we generally don't talk about in relation to the woman and her role and so forth. Let me just read this first and then make some comments on it. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 18, the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.'" Now, where I'm headed with this morning is, as I said, a little different from what we generally do in relation to talking about women. As I think about what the Bible says about the role of the man and the woman, it's very apparent today that many people have a misconception of God's role of those two positions. Much of that has been perpetrated by the church itself. There are numerous people who say that, for example, the Apostle Paul was a woman hater because of some things he says about women. And because over the years the church has taught the idea of submission of the woman to man, many women have the idea that somehow God was unfair, that God was not just in his dealings with man and woman. But that couldn't be further from the truth. You see, what that is that's a misunderstanding and a misinterpretation and a misapplication of God's Word. For example, turn over, if you will, to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31. We're not going to take time to read the whole passage here. But it's the passage that we generally think about in relation to women. Down in verse 10, Proverbs 31:10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Now, she goes on down through there and it talks about all the things that she does. And I'm not going to take time to read all that, but look down in verse 28. "As a result of this virtuous woman," it says in verse 28, "her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." Verse 30. "Faithful, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Now that does not sound like that the woman is demeaned in any way, does it? I mean, her children rise up, call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Look, if you will, over in 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to many verses outside of Paul's epistles because the truths about man and woman, men and women, is it transcends dispensations. Now, there are some distinctive differences in the responsibilities in Paul's epistles, but I want you to notice 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, "Likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in the subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, notice now, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So we see there again, husbands, give honor, it says, unto your wife. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto them, unto wives, as unto the weaker vessel. Now, there are several verses of Scripture that cause people to have a misconception about the role of the man and the role of the woman. Obviously, in God's Word, there is an order of authority that is established. That does not demean in one bit the woman. It is simply a difference in responsibilities. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in 1 Corinthians 11, you see, what has happened over the years is that many men, many preachers, and many other people have taken these verses out of context and made an application to them so that they have portrayed the idea that the man is to rule with a rod of iron, that the man is the authoritative end of all, and that he is to make all the decisions, that kind of thing. That is not what the Bible depicts. The Bible depicts an order of authority. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head, but every woman that..." Let's just skip down to verse 8. "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." Now we just... You could take that verse right there. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And a man that would want to make an application of that, he would say something like, "See, you were created for me. You're to do everything I say. You're to submit every..." But that's not what he's saying. He told us in Genesis chapter 2 how the woman was created for the man, didn't he? He said she was a helpmeet. And yes, there is a... And I don't want to diminish the idea, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. That is absolutely the truth. And that is something that a woman is to obey and to do. But on the other side, the man is to understand that that place of authority is a place of loving leadership. It's not to be a harsh, mean, dictatorship type relationship. God never intended that. God intended for the man to be the head of the house and to be the loving leader, but he never intended to be done in harshness, cruelty, and that kind of thing. Again, "I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." You see, wouldn't it be kind of silly for a man to say, "Well, God was out of line. God didn't like men because he made Christ their head." Well, the same way, a woman said, "Well, I think Paul's a woman hater because he tries to put us under man." No, God wrote this through the Apostle Paul. These were God's instructions. And there's a reason for all that. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3. You see, we live in a society when everything has just been basically turned upside down on its head, and there is no respect for the Word of God, very little respect for the Word of God, and very little appreciation for the Word of God. And so people take it and they make applications that absolutely destroy what God's intent was. So the first thing we need to understand is that yes, God created woman for man. The reason was, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. And therefore, I'll make him a help meet. I'll make him something there that's going to be everything he needs in relation to carrying out the ministry that I have for him. What was that ministry? Number one, he said, I want you to multiply and replenish the earth. There needs to be no debate among Christian people as to what constitutes a marriage. It's a man and a woman. God determined that men and women would reproduce and replenish the earth, subdue it and so forth, and man could not do that alone, and so God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him an helpmeet. And so when two people come together and create a child, and that child comes forth, then those parents have the responsibility to raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the woman and the man have a responsibility one toward another. Did you ever notice in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read over there in a minute, where he says there, submitting yourselves one to another. Submitting yourselves one to another. And then he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. There is a order of authority. But that order of authority is to be based upon love. And it's to be based upon the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think I said chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, first of all. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. There again, a verse that could be taken out of context when he says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. He's talking about the position of being a teacher. He said in 1 Corinthians 14, if a woman desires to know something, let her ask her husband at home. Do you see what that does? That's not demeaning to the woman. Do you understand the responsibility that puts on the man? That gives, in other words, when he says if a woman wants to know anything, let her ask her husband at home. Who does that give the responsibility to? The man. The man to be the spiritual leader, to be able to teach the wife and instruct the wife out of the Word of God. So there is a great responsibility on both parts, but the men actually have the greater responsibility. And you know, what has happened, folks, is this. What the Bible really does is give a woman a place of honor and praise and protection. And so she has stepped outside of that honor, praise, and protection in wanting to go beyond what the Word of God says in relation to her place and her responsibility. And so today what you have is many women who are not submissive to the Word of God, but they want all the benefits as though they were. You have a lot of men who are not the loving leader that God has instructed them to be, but they want the benefit of being so. You understand what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, when we are given instruction to perform and do something according to the Word of God, we have the responsibility to do that. In doing so, there is always a benefit. There's always a value in doing what God says. As Steve was talking about this, being led of the Spirit. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Think about this. Everything that God tells you to do in His Word, man, child, or woman, there is great value in it. For example, when God tells children, obey your parents, for this is right. Did you know there's great value in that? There's a great benefit in that? What is the benefit? Well, number one is your parents have far more experience than you do. And you can go through every individual in the Bible, whether it be a child, whether it be a woman, or a man. For example, when God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. Now, we look at that as a great responsibility, and it is, as men. But men, do you realize the great value that's in that? Think about that. Was there some value in Christ dying on the cross for our sins? You better believe there was. He died for us when we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ went there to that cross and He submitted Himself, the Bible says, unto the death of the cross. But you know what? Look back in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I think this is important that we understand. God's Word is not something that He has given us to keep us from having a good time. It's not something He's given us to restrict us to the extent that we would not be able to live and function in a healthy and happy manner. Everything God has told us, there's a benefit in that. There's a value in it for us to obey. There's a responsibility in it as well. And there's also consequences when we don't obey it. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now the benefit of that for you and I was that He died for our sins, He was buried and rose again the third day. The benefit of that is, for by grace are you saved through faith. The benefit of that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. He has forgiven us all trespasses. So what He did was of a great benefit in relation to those He did it for. But it also benefited Him. It wasn't that He was selfish, but there was a reward, if you will. There was a value in that for Him. Notice what He says. Verse 9. Wherefore, in other words, because of, He gave Himself at first. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Now let's just take this principle and carry it across the board. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. There's Christ's love for the church. He gave Himself for us. He died for our sins. We benefited from that. We received salvation as a result of what He did. But He also benefited, and God hath highly exalted Him, giving Him a name which is above every name. Then you get over Ephesians chapter 5. And in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, to carry the principle across, Christ loved the church, gave Himself for it. There was great value in that for Him, great value in that for us. Husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church. There's great value in that for the wife that is loved. Immense value in that. But there is also great value in that for the one that does the loving. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. Let's carry it another step further. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. You see, there's great benefit for a woman to take that place of submission and submit to her husband. And there's a value in that for her husband, and there's also a value in that for her. You see, when a woman recognizes and understands the position that God has given her in the Word of God, she understands that with that position comes great value. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her. And the man will honor her as the weaker vessel, or he should. That's a place of great value. But there's also the place of responsibility. So you see, what we as selfish individuals want, we want all the value without the responsibility. And you know, that was even portrayed, that was even portrayed in Christ Himself. Remember in the garden when He prayed? He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, He was saying, if there's any other way for this redemptive process to be carried out. I want you to do that. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, what it always comes down to, folks, is one thing in relationships, whether it be man, wife, woman, children, child, or whatever. It comes down to one thing. And that is, are we willing to submit our will to His will? It is God's will that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. We either submit to His will or we submit to our will. And that's what it comes down to. There is great value in obeying His will. There's also great responsibility. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, look back up there in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. There we have a great picture of what God's desire is for the husband-wife relationship. The man has the responsibility to love his wife and to love her as Christ loved the church. That is, with an unconditional love. Loving her not because... You see, I mention this quite often in talking about love. Most of our love today is... It's, I love you if, or I love you because. I love you if you will perform, if you will do what I want you to do, if you will submit to me, if you, and on the list goes. Or, I love you because you're beautiful and all, well, no matter, I mean, you just add anything in there you want. But you know what real love is. It's simply, I love you. Not if, not because. It is total, unconditional love. That's what a woman... You see, don't you find, understanding the grace of God, that you respond to that? The love of... Didn't the Bible say the love of Christ constraineth us? You see, folks... I believe the greatest response to serving the Lord is from those that know and understand the love of Christ. That is a motivating factor. I believe it also works in the life of a couple. When a husband loves his wife, she does respond to that. She understands the value of that. And she doesn't have, generally speaking, and I would never make a blanket statement, but most women have very little difficulty being in submission to a man who loves them like Christ loved the church. Rarely do you find the problem. Now, as I said a moment ago, look over in 1 Timothy chapter. Obviously, there are different roles. Those roles do not demean in any way the woman. They don't in any way reduce the importance of the woman or the value of the woman. Is just simply different. In 1 Timothy chapter... let's go over to chapter 5. We'll go over to chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, in this first letter to Timothy, as he concludes the letter in the last two chapters, he deals an awful lot with issues in relation to people and their responsibilities. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 9, he says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works." Now notice what are listed as the good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Then there are some good works that are associated with women. Down in verse 14 he says, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Now, those aren't hard things to understand, and it's not demeaning in any way that God has given the woman one role of responsibility and the man another. Look over in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2. You know, I was thinking about this this morning, and my dad used to tell me that it was a man's responsibility to provide for his family. He said, "I don't care what you have to do. He said, "You just remember one thing. Any work that is honest is honorable." He said, "If you got to dig ditches, then dig ditches. If you've got to, no matter what it takes to provide for your family, that's what you need to do." He told me that in relation to the fact that he had been in the service. He had gotten out and gotten a job at Hayes Aircraft as an aircraft supervisory mechanic, making real good money. And Hayes closed their doors and went out of business, and he lost his job. And I was a rip-snorting 14, 15-year-old kid at the time. And we were going to a huge church there in Birmingham, and they were looking for a janitor. Now they're called custodians or environmental engineers, but the bottom line was it was a janitor's job. And so he said he was going to take the job. I told him, I said, "Sure." He told me I was going to apply for that job. And I didn't want him to. I said, "That'd be embarrassing to have your daddy the janitor." Well, he sat me down and had a real long talk with me. And he used the Bible, and he showed me how that a man is to work, and that there is no dishonorable work as long as it's honest, as long as it's not crooked. Whether it's cleaning toilets, working in the sewer, digging ditches, he said, you have responsibility to provide for your own, and no matter what it takes. And so I was thinking about those words this morning, early this morning, and I thought about how some women would say, you know, it's a demeaning thing to be in submission to a man. It's a demeaning thing to those things that you just read there in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Well, those are demeaning things there for a woman to wash feet, and for a woman to lodge strangers and relieve the afflicted. That's demeaning. Is it any more demeaning than digging a ditch or working down in the sewer if you had to? Listen, folks, work is demeaning in itself. It's a curse. It's not something that, you know, it's wonderful if you can find a job you enjoy, but let's face it, work is a result of the fall. And you can blame Adam, or you can blame Eve for that. Adam and Eve. What I'm trying to get across to you is just because God has outlined that the responsibilities are different does not make one less important than the other. As a matter of fact, I believe that when you read and study the Scriptures and you see that the woman is given responsibility of raising the children, that it shows that her responsibility is far greater, and her job really is far more important than the man's in the sense of the relationship with the children. I mean, mom spends far more time with them than dad does. And you know, I've never seen a kid get hurt and run to daddy. Now they might run to daddy for money, they might run to daddy for entertainment, but when they get hurt, you know who they want to go to? They want to go to mama. And it's because of the bond there. In Titus chapter 2, notice the aged women likewise, that they, verse 3, Titus 2, 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, folks, man and woman were put on this earth to function as a unit. We call it the family unit. Every person in that family has responsibility in relation to doing the will of God. When each one in that family functions on the basis of the Word of God, that family can be a happy, it can be the closest thing to heaven on earth that you'll ever find. It is a refuge from a mean and evil world. But when people step outside of God's will and want to do their own thing, the home can end up being hell on earth. And it all comes about because we're not willing to submit ourselves to one another, and we're not willing to submit ourselves unto the Word of God. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. No conditions attached. When a man attaches a condition to his love for his wife, he's in effect said, I don't really love you. I love you only for what you can provide for me. Think about that in relation to the prosperity gospel. Isn't that what people's attitude is many times toward God today? They love God as long as they believe that God is bringing all the blessings. What about when they don't see the blessings? Well, you know what? It doesn't change the love of God. God loved us and He gave Himself for us. God is not obligated to manifest Himself today in a physical sense of providing you with anything other than food and raiment. He said, let us therewith be content. God's provided you with salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you don't measure God's love on the basis of physical blessings. You measure God's love on the basis of what He did for you at Calvary. You don't base... Our love should reflect God's love always. It should reflect that which Christ did for us. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, loving one another, even as God for Christ's sake loved us and gave Himself for us. I thank God this morning for women, for mothers that are willing and have been in the past willing to take the place that God gave them, that place of responsibility of raising those children, of being a loving wife, and in some instances being both mother and father to the children in situations where there is a single parent. God's will is for us to walk in obedience to His Word. For us to always obey what He has told us to do. But the wonderful thing to remember, folks, it is not without value and benefit. There is great value, there is great benefit in obeying the Word of God. And when we do not do that, it is not God bringing punishment or chastisement upon us, but when we step out of the will of God and don't walk according to the Word of God, we end up reaping what we sow. We reap what we sow. We sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. And so we have responsibility to obey the Word of God. God was not a woman hater. Paul was not a woman hater. The place of the woman and the man, different places of responsibility. But both are to be valued by one another. and esteemed highly for their work's sake, and esteemed highly for the place that God has given them. And if your mother is alive today, you need to be sure that you get in contact with her and tell her that you appreciate her, that you care for her, and that you thank God for all that she's been to you. And I thought back many times, I wish I had told my mother more how much I appreciated all that she did for us as children. I always figured there's going to be plenty of time. But in 1975, I received a telephone call that my mother had suffered a stroke. They had their bags packed to come to our house in July. They were going to leave on Sunday morning, drive up and be there by time for dinner on Sunday. And on Sunday morning, I received that telephone call that she'd had a stroke. I immediately left and drove down there and was able to talk with her. And then on Tuesday, she suffered another massive stroke. And by that midnight, she had died. And I was never able to talk to her again. But I can tell you that there have been many times I thought, I wish I had conveyed to my mother how much I appreciated what she had done, because it was never anything that the world would have looked at as being successful. But every day when I came home, I knew that she was going to be there. She never held a job outside the home. I knew she was going to be there. And I knew she loved me, and she loved my father and my sisters, and that was her life. If your mother's alive, get in touch with her and tell her how much you appreciate her, mother. Not just today, but throughout the year. To one another, we need to express our appreciation. And this morning, I appreciate you ladies that are so much a part of this church and your ministry in the home and in this church. And I thank God for you. And today we do honor you, and we praise God for you, and pray that you would continue to serve the Lord. And as men, we might be the leaders that we ought to be, to provide the leadership through the Word of God. That will be a blessing to you and to the church in general. Would you stand with me for prayer?